Okay, let's pray. 2 Timothy 4, you can find your way there. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And now we come to receive all that it is that you have given in the Word. Thank you that there's instructions, there's correction. Your Word that's living and powerful, Lord, it has a reproof to it. And we also recognize, Lord, that there's this part that we really grow up as we do the Word of God. So we pray today that your Spirit would teach and change and transform our lives. And then in the name of Jesus, we become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we wrap up the study of 2 Timothy today. Then we have Resurrection Sunday. Then we're going to 1 Peter after that. So that's where we head. All that's on the website. Again, I encourage you to read ahead. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Paul hits a section here, this last section, where he directs Timothy and then also instructs concerning the others in the ministry. We get on to 2 Timothy 4, 9. He says to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." And he describes in 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crasses," again that's the way his name really would be pronounced, "Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I have left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. I've entitled today's Bible study, "The Measure of Maturity in Ministry." The measure of maturity in ministry. Hands down, we've been studying 1 and 2 Timothy to grow up in the Lord, to go on to perfection, to say, "Lord, we're ready. Work in us, work through us, and we will grow up as a church." And I find it important enough to emphasize this measure. We've given ourselves as a church to know Romans 12:3, and it's described there that to each and every one of us has been given the measure of faith according to the gift of Christ, the measure of faith. Our Lord said to us, "With the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." In judgment, giving, right? You think about this. These are mature things. These are words of our Lord that we need to understand. That in our measurement, if our Lord is going to warn us with how we are, again, think of speck and plank, how we are, that measure will be measured back to us. So I find it very important then that we should measure our maturity in ministry. Describing this, I want to tie this together ultimately with what we are to be as church and what has been given us in Christ, and I want you to turn to Ephesians 4 with me. Ephesians 4. We talk about the measure of faith, again describing that we're in the faith. Romans 14, as we studied on Wednesday night, well, the key was to be in the faith. The how we are with one another in the faith, not to despise one or not to, right, not to think of yourself better in that regards, but also not to think that you're more godly when you're stricter than another. Again, in the preference of practice. But we're going to grow up in ministry. Right? This idea of the measure, and everything has a measure. I mean, we rely upon our government to have weights and measures in every area so that it can be regulated so that when you buy a gallon of gas, you get a gallon of gas. We rely upon these things. How about this in church? I mean, you think about it. The measure in church should be, if we're children of God, the measure should be we should be loving. You understand this. This is inherent that we measure everything. Everything has a measure. But when you're immature, you don't see the work of God like you do when you mature. Many will make the error, and then they're teaching others. So Ephesians 4 has been abused. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. To the extent that you hear that, the call is, if you are a Christian, live as a Christian. Walk as a believer. That's what you are. That is my vocation. That is my calling. I'm called to follow Christ Jesus. I follow him in the way. To the extent that you can measure that, I attach it very clearly for us. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Putting that before you, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Meekness, lowliness. Again, think of this wonderful truth that's now laid before us in Ephesians 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Saw a pastor, again, that I know in town, and saw him twice yesterday. I saw him when I was walking in the morning, and then he goes to the same coffee shop I went to, and when I'm having a meeting, he's there. I'm like, okay, Lord, I get the point. Go talk to him, right? Go talk to him. For those of you, may or may not be an encouragement to you, but over 20 years ago, the Lord gave me a vision that there would be a church in the bar that I used to play volleyball at, sand volleyball competitively at Lowerman's too. And I'm like, that's a great place for a church. That'd be a great place. And I found out that's where they're now going in for their services. And I showed him that. I told him I saw this 20 years ago. He's only been in country about 10, 15 years. And I saw that before. I thought it was for us. Like, oh, no. See, just because you see something doesn't mean it's for you. Now, when I lay this out in this way, and I talked to him, and I went back to him and said, hey, will you pray for our Resurrection Sunday outreach? I said, we're right by the Islamic Center, so will you pray for us? We're going to be outside preaching Christ. We want the light to shine. We're going for it. This is the gospel. We're going to serve in this gospel. We're going to live this way. And he says, I'll pray for you. Right? And I guess my thing there says, he says, I know where you're at. Okay? You understand? See, we're not alone. And when I lay this out in this way, I'm already one with him, and I tell him that. We're one. Okay? Now, the world would have many reasons to say we aren't, but in Christ Jesus, I just need one thing. He's in Christ. I'm in Christ. We're one. He's bringing people to Christ. I'm bringing people to Christ. Dude, we're one. Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, I just endeavor to keep it. You don't create that. I have heard men who want the false unity, and I go pray with them, and all of a sudden one in the group is trying to convince me to pray for their Catholic priest who is bringing the Eucharist. I get up and walk out. It's a different Christ. What'd you join to? Now, I'm just laying this out for us tonight. The measure of maturity in ministry. Okay? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. You want me to join to what? See, this part of in the faith and in Christ and must be born again, everything of the Scriptures, one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You must know the doctrines. Again, men, we've been exhorted to know what these things are and to teach and to have this understanding. What are the Scriptures saying? And who isn't teaching the doctrine of Christ? Who's got... You do understand the way of salvation in the Roman Catholic Church is not the way of salvation in the Scriptures. That's why I boldly say that. They teach that Jesus is in the bread and they worship a piece of bread. Why will I not pray for a Catholic priest to give the Eucharist? Because it's not of Christ. So I know that that man who brought me to that prayer meeting, I just learned later on. He's spot on the love feast when I try. Like he's not the same way that I am to him. He's causing this. He has this doctrine of unity of everything before Christ can come back. And that's not Bible. We have been given a unity in Christ. We're going to grow up today in the ministry. And our measure of maturity, that I can stand up and say, that's not right. It's a very mature thing to say what? I don't like everybody. I don't like what everybody's doing. You understand that? Very important. Now, one God, one Father, who above all, through all, and in you all. So who is the all? Well, this is the all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given the measure according to the grace of the gift. Excuse me. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's our measure. We begin with this. You're saved. You received grace. Saved by grace through faith. Salvation. To be in Christ. Again, the measure of grace. Lord, gracious. God has been gracious unto me, a sinner. I mean, that simple, like that simple entrance, you must be born again into this body of Christ. There's no membership into Christ without being born of him. And this measure of grace that's been given, this grace that has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now look at the gift of Christ. There's two things we aren't going to be able to measure today. The love of God. You cannot measure the love of God. Do you ever think of that? You cannot measure it. You'll never get to the end of it. Ephesians 3, the previous chapter, later on in this chapter, we're not going to get to it. Again, I just kind of got to teach 2 Timothy 4. But the backdrop is, there is no end to the love of God. The depth, the height, the length, the width. We're rooted and grounded in love. But this love is to be comprehended that it is above knowledge. There is no law against the fruit of the Spirit, meaning there is no measure of the Spirit's fullness. It says of Jesus that he had the Spirit without measure. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can never have too much of that. That's not the measure of maturity. The Holy Spirit fullness, abounding, overflowing, is like, that's the fullness of God. That's what we have. So, this grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What's the measure of the gift of Christ? And here's my measure for us in church. He gave all to us. We give all to him. That's grace. It's grace. Think about it. The measure of Christ's gift. What did Christ hold back? Our Lord held back nothing. He gave all. So what's the measure of grace? To the extent, I say it works this way, to him who's been forgiven much, he loves much. If you're forgiven little, how do you go around with people? Look at their sin. See, we don't love very much. So what can't we measure? We cannot measure God. We cannot measure his love. God is infinite. Now, as I stir you up to this maturity, and now you're welcome for that, but I don't want to grow up. Well, then you came to the wrong place. Right? Baby Christians act like babies. It's time to grow up. If you're still in Ephesians 4, look at verse 11 with me. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, you can either agree with that or fight against it. I agree with it. Now, here's why. For the perfecting of the saints. What's that word perfecting? Complete. Grow up. Mature. For maturity. For the perfection. For the completing. For the growing up. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. Matches my title today, The Measure of Maturity in the Ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 is the key verse today. So your tagline at the end of today's sermon is this. I'll take you where we're going at the end. But grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. He gives you a measure of grace, and then he says, now grow up in it. Our measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if you think 4:7, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, he gave all. And so as you look at this in 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the oneness of our faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. I think about that. So the maturity is I know and believe and I know the Son of God. That's a mark. Unto a perfect man. So you catch the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry that edify the body of Christ unto the maturity of the believers. The maturity. The perfection. Perfecting every man unto, here's another measure, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 16 describes us growing up into, 15 describes growing up into him, unto all things which is the head. So, when you're a child, you have childish ways. But when you grow up, you have to put off your childish ways. So I'm just, again, church, we're maturing. We must grow up. Verse 14 there, again, was that what 3:14 described that we should henceforth no more be children. Now, what happens for childish Christians? They love the internet. Do you know why they love the internet? Ooh, look at this. Look at that doctrine. And they're pulled back and forth by all these doctrines. They just think, well, all this must be true. Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. And then they're on to, well, maybe as a Christian I should keep the feast. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should add this to my Christianity. Now, verse 11 is clear. We have the apostles. Think of that. We have the apostles' doctrine. It's New Testament. We have this instruction. These are the things we have, church, to grow up. And you have the prophets, the evangelists. You have this in the scriptures. Now, straight up honest, the format we have, the predominant format of church in this world, the key part is, what do we have? A pastor and teacher has been given to each church. I carry on that. My part is to be faithful unto God, unto the Word, to use the scriptures to teach and equip, to correct, instruct. Yes, you'll be corrected. Yes, you'll be reproved. Yes, you'll find out all these things in the scriptures, but it attaches a pastor and teacher with it. That's what God gave us. Okay. To grow up. To not be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Not letting those doctrines that pull people over, I just don't know if I'm saved anymore. Where'd you get that? Right? See, just that prevailing thing, that when you sin as a Christian, your salvation does not disappear from you. Okay? You need to understand that. When you sin as a Christian and you recognize that and you go, oh, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin, right? To forgive sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I just make it personal. Right? He restores that. And I'm right instantly. And you don't have to go to the guy in the box where you confess your sins and he gives you some works to do. Give me 7 Our Fathers and a few Hail Marys and I don't know, and then give us some money. You take that back, whoever said that right now. We don't do that here. It's all right, very good. Okay, you're saying don't do it. Okay, all right. Whew. All right. So you understand where this teaching is today. Everybody with me? Grow. We're to grow up into our head. Grace causes you to grow. If you receive this grace, the measure of Christ's gift, and you according to that grace that's been given unto you, grace will teach you and you'll grow. Peter leaves it off in his last letter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace is the method by which we grow up into this and we become mature in Christ. And in the ministry, right, 2 Timothy 4, in the ministry, Paul says to Timothy, he says, come to me. Listen up, verses 9 and 10. This is growing up now today in ministry. You're growing up. In church, some come and some go. Just grow up. You understand this? There will be people who come. All right? Like Timothy, Paul can command Timothy, and there's people that will come in who are obedient to the Lord, and they show up here because God says, come here. right? Or a sinner gets saved here and they come to Christ and they start walking in the commands of Christ. Others are going to come in and they have no intention of obeying the commands of Christ. So this diligence to come unto me shortly, I have every expectation to believe that when Timothy gets this, he is going to get there. It's a command. Now, one of the best things you can do as we just take this maturity in the ministry, if I am giving you commands to do something, okay, scriptural, right? You see, this is our command. We're to do this. And I'm encouraging you, do this. My best word to you is that's for your doing. To the extent of growing up and being mature, it's this. I can be commanded what to do. That's a mark of maturity. You read your Bible, you get a command in there. Okay? There's something going on in your life. You're not willing to put something away. It's sin, or you're messing with something you shouldn't be messing with. And I come to you and say, you need to put that out of your life. Okay? This is the mark of maturity in the ministry. When you say, I just don't like the way he dresses. I'm not going to listen to him. His mannerisms. Oh, he reminds me of so-and-so. And then, well, he's, you know, the way he corrects. You need to understand something. None of this is about a preference, but everything is about us receiving the commands and always checking and testing these things out. This is the mark of maturity of a church that says what? We have the commands of Christ, we receive them. But in the ministry, now Paul's giving a command to Timothy, he says, do your diligence, be earnest, endeavor to get here. If my pastor called me up and says, I need you, guess what I'm going to do? Am I going to say, can you please give me chapter and verse for that? The mark of maturity is what? I know the man that he is, and if he says, come to me, I need you, I don't hesitate. Is Timothy going to show up and say, well, I didn't know if I should come or not. I just had this feeling like I should stay and we're growing up today, okay? When we have commands, they are for doing. Okay? Some come and some go. I expect Timothy's going to get there. So if you catch this, God gave to the church for the equipping and edifying, this is maturity. Some pastors and teachers, I've been given to you for this reason, so I hold that in fear of God. You need to understand that. I hold that what I've been given in the fear of God. I know that one day I'm going to give an account. So that's my healthy fear of God. Some come. Demas departed. Demas forsook me. Having loved this present world, departed. Some go. This is also a mark of maturity in the ministry. There are going to be some that were there. Someone you served alongside with. Someone you had fellowship with. Someone who you thought was going to continue. And they go. And they depart. Well, are you going to go with them? And then they're going to say, well, you know what the pastor's like and this and that. And you know, and then that whole thing. I hear it over and over. So the mark of maturity is to understand some come and receive the commands and walk with the Lord. What else do you know? Some go. Demas, man, he's up until this point had been mentioned in a really good light. He was a companion with Paul. He was sendable. Now he forsook, having loved this present world. 1 John 2:15-16. Worthy of memorizing. Especially for last day's church. Because in 2:18, John lets everybody know that you know the Antichrist is coming. He says, and in fact, now many Antichrists have come. This is great for last day's church. 1 John 2:15-16. It's for your maturity today. Yes, Christians leave church and Christ for the love of the world. So if somebody leaves church, should you go too? Like one of the worst reasons to go to a church because somebody else goes there, and or to leave. As you grow up in ministry today, know this. You might be working with somebody who says, no, I want the world. You know what I say to somebody who wants the world? Go now. Go get it. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Almost sounds like it's written like a command. It is a command. It is a command. So my command to you, again, just receive, I'm receiving it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think that. You can't love both. We try to love both. So when I come up to you and said, your issue is loving the world, what am I saying to you? It's going to be okay. I'm not saying it's going to be okay. I'm saying you need to make the most important decision in your life. If you want the world, go get it. Let it bite and devour and destroy you. Come to the end of yourself, then come back. There's guys out there that I've said, here, keep my phone number. I write it down on a piece of paper. Keep this. When you're all empty, call me back. Demas departed, forsook Paul. Some forsake the church. Some forsake ministry. Some go. Our maturity is to understand that. And get this, they need to go. Did you hear that? I have a brother who pastors, friend of mine, and he had a guy that just needed to go. Carnal, worldly, always loving the world, and he's sinning in the world, and he still wants to be in church. And I'm like, bro, he's got to go. I said, I can see this. He's got to go. I know he's got to go, but he's my project. He's the first one I led to the Lord. And I can save him. What's the mark of maturity? Well, here's the mark of maturity. None of us are Jesus. We didn't save anybody. Some need to go. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16. When one is gone, right? Will you go too? The maturity is to stay. Satan loves to work overtime. Those that go and have a mouthpiece. Oh, you know what that church is like? I wear that like a badge. When I hear other people coming in here bad-mouthing their church, I'm like, we don't want that here. Go back and take care of it. We've learned that one. The pastor's that. No, I don't think it's the pastor. I think it's you. Ephesians 4:11. I don't think it's you. I think, you know, no, it is you. Right? God gave to the church pastors to mature the church. He didn't give you. You're not the gift to church. See, we're either going to walk in this word and grow up in it, okay? We better keep going. Oh, wait, there's one more thought here. Look at this. Demas left loving the present world, but look at, there's two other men in there, right? Crescens and Titus. Now, they departed too, but they did not depart forsaking Paul and loving the world. They departed to what? To go do things that they needed to do. That's important to understand. Reach, teach, men, send. Some will be sent, others will just leave. There is a difference in maturity in the ministry. You need to understand that. Okay, verses 11 and 12. Some stay, some return, some are sent. Only Luke is with me, right? Luke stayed. What a wonderful ministry of care for another. Maybe a foot washing ministry to Paul. Maybe I will lay down my life and see to it that the Apostle Paul has his medical needs in prison. Again, what a wonderful ministry to say, I spend my life doing this. Some stay. How about the hidden ministries in the church? We need all those. All the ones nobody knows that's going on. Those hidden ministries of caring for one another. A wonderful ministry. Some return. Take Mark, bring him with thee. He's profitable for me in the ministry. Acts 15:37-40. I will not go do a ministry with Mark. Barnabas, if you want Mark, I don't want you. Paul and Silas depart. Mark and Barnabas go the other way. Acts 15. I will not do ministry with John Mark. Listen, it's very okay at any point as you grow up and have ministry. I have Christian brothers who pastor Calvary Chapels. I will not do ministry with them. Or maybe it's the other way around. They will not do ministry with me. That's a maturity, right? 1 Corinthians 12. There's differences of ministries. There's a diversity in the body of Christ. And the mark of maturity is do your thing. Right? Go for it. But look at what happens. Right? Bring Mark back. He is now profitable for me in the ministry. They didn't stay that way. Acts 15, 37 through 40. If you're not familiar with that, that's when they divided over John Mark, who, by the way, also wrote the Gospel of Mark. Huh. Profitable in ministry. So you mean to tell me that you could have a disagreement in how ministry should be done, and then God would bring you back together to be profitable again in the ministry? Yeah. Paul's an apostle. John Mark is not. You understand that? Paul's an apostle. John Mark is not. Paul then, he says to Timothy, bring Mark with you. He's profitable for me in ministry. What do you know? At somewhere in there, John Mark grew up. Remember how he left the ministry when it got tough? And Paul says, we're not doing this again. We're not going to take him with us again and repeat the same thing. Barnabas says he's not like that anymore. Paul says, I don't care. I'm not repeating that again. Give me chapter and verse. This is Bible. This is living it out. This is what this is. You have to read and know and understand as you grow up in the ministry. Some people just need to go. Right? And then some people need to return. There's guys like, why aren't you here doing the work of ministry that God called you to do? Get back here. Get back to the work. So as a pastor say, you need to be retooled. Okay? You can't serve in that capacity anymore. I've got to rework things in your life and get you built back up. Or again, another phrase I'll use, get you tuned up again so you can be sent out. Okay? All these things, because some are sent. If you see it in there, there's a man named in this section, verse 12. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Sendable. Think of the whole heart of that men's ambassador in training ministry. Right? To make a man available where he's like, I will be sendable. And I will represent the interests of Christ where I'm sent, an ambassador. And see, if you want to be a baby Christian, you can just, you know, put the milk of the word in a bottle and just keep sipping on the bottle. You're going to heaven. But if you want to grow up, you want to grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and you want maturity, and like, so some need to be sendable. I need to send you here to get this accomplished. Take care of it this way, right? Tychicus, get to Ephesus. Now here's the testimony to the Ephesian church, 6:21. Here's his tagline. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He's already been to Ephesus before. Listen, 2 Timothy, right? Paul in prison, he's going to talk about his first trial where he gives answer. That's 10 years after Acts 28. If you thought Paul stopped doing ministry after Acts 28, you were wrong. He continued in the ministry. He continued. He kept writing. He kept preaching. He kept teaching. Tychicus now is sent once again to Ephesus, and he is a beloved brother and faithful minister. Maybe that's just a part of growing up. You don't have to be a great man, nor do you have to be spiritually lazy. Again, you think of that. Are you sendable? Are you a faithful brother? Again, think of this. Again, sisters, a faithful sister that you could be sent. I need you to go and get that other sister back. Restore her, disciple her, bring her back. Get her out of her sin and get her into Christ. Hey, she's not submitting in her marriage. Go work with her. Teach her how to love her husband, how to love her children. Go work with her. Mark of maturity. Some can be sent. Colossians 4, the second mention of Tychicus in his character. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Love that. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring it, and then the books and the parchments. So some needs this cloak. Paul's in prison. He's cold. Okay? It's understood that quite possibly he would have been arrested in Troas, and he entrusted to Carpus his belongings so they wouldn't be confiscated when he was arrested. The arresting officer, the arresting soldier could what? Under Roman law, they would take from the person that they could take whatever they wanted from the person they arrested. So he says, bring the cloak. I need it. But the other one, the books and the parchments. The parchments, the reference, that's the scriptures. That's his copy. That's his Tanakh. Bring me the parchments. I want to study the word of God. I want to keep studying. Paul, who had all these revelations, what did he keep doing? That's a mark of maturity. The mark of maturity is not, I've already studied the Bible. When you tell me, I know that already. All you're telling me is I'm a little baby. It's all you're telling me. If your mouth is declaring, I know that already, you're saying what? I'm a little baby. Because what I see from Paul? Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, what is he still poring over? Study the scriptures. Again, the more that I study, I want to know what this is. What does this mean? Verses 14 and 15. Okay, we're growing up today, right? This is maturity. No longer children tossed to and fro. No longer whining and complaining. No longer speaking against one another. No longer saying, well, I just don't like that. I don't care about your preferences. Okay? You need to understand, preferences destroy most you know, oneness in church. What is this? What are these things? Well, in 14 and 15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him. So Paul's not holding a grudge. He's just simply, God will take care of him. God's going to judge him. And then he warns Timothy in 15. He's withstood our words. Listen, naming the names of those that oppose the work of God. Very mature. Very mature to say unto you, stay away from that ministry, from that doctrine. Stay away from those that have women as pastors in their churches. Stay away from, and you go right through the list, what are these doctrines? What are these things? And which one shouldn't I pick up on? Infant baptism, not of God. Okay, you just start to describe these things. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him. So as we apply this and learn this, and see, there's just certain things that we, all right, stay away from. Alexander the coppersmith, again, metal worker, I think the implication is, what did he make idols? Did he directly go against the word of God because of worship of other gods? We don't know for sure, but it is very good to name the names of those who oppose the work of God. Now, why do I say that about infant baptism? Because of baptismal regeneration. If you teach someone can be saved in water baptism, then you keep them from Christ. This is why we preach the gospel. You believe and receive the gospel. Even for the young, you again, as they receive Christ. Now you're just nurturing that. And when they get older, and they're like, now then you got to explain the gospel to them so that they can receive fully what you've been sowing those seeds, nurtured. They're ready to receive all that Christ has for them. You can't baptize a baby and say they're saved. Okay? Now, go on to 16 through 18. Maturity, right? Maturity today. You have to turn from those that are evil, right? You have to turn away from them and take the warning. I have warned us as a church, stay away from purpose-driven church. Stay away from the seeker-sensitive models. They don't teach the cross. Stay away from the false prophets of IHOP, the Kansas City prophets. And you go right through all these doctrines. Stay away from them. And that's just the beginning of the list. Okay, 16 through 18, here's my tagline. The Lord is faithful. This is the issue. This is the mark of maturity. In the ministry, you have to know that God is faithful. Paul describes at his first answer, first trial, right? At his first answer, he's got to give an answer for himself. Nobody stood with me. Nobody's in the courtroom with him. Nobody's supporting him. And he said, all men forsook me. And he understood that there probably were some men who were to be there, but maybe they were afraid to associate with the Apostle Paul, that if he was going to be killed on that day, what are they thinking? I don't want to die too. It's the same thing with our Lord when he's going up, and when our Lord was bound. But to fulfill Scripture, right, all of his disciples, Jesus was bound alone. Paul says, Lord, don't hold that against them. Don't put it on their account. But look at 17. So I know this as a pastor. When I stand up and say, I will shepherd the flock of God that's among me. You know what I know is coming? That I am going to be shot at. I know that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Strengthen me by the preaching might be fully known. Isn't this what our Lord taught us? When they bring you before judges or magistrates, says, don't worry about what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit wants to speak in that situation. If you don't have a defense, you don't need to prepare a defense. The Holy Spirit is your defense, and the Spirit will speak in that situation. Paul says, the preaching might be fully known. The Gentiles might be here. Again, you look at this thing, you say, poor Paul, he had to stand alone. What's Paul say? Powerful God. Not poor Paul, powerful God. The Lord stood with me. How important is that? You think of this, these words that our Lord said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So when you're suffering, when you're in a trial, when Satan's just bombarding your thought life and you're wielding that shield of faith and it's not doing very well enough and the fiery darts are still getting through. And like nobody stands with me. You know what? This truth. The Lord stood with me. There's not a single believer that the Lord doesn't stand with. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Why do we need to grow up? Because when you're whining and complaining in a trial and it's so bad, and what are we saying? We're just simply saying the Lord's not faithful. So I just simply say the Lord's faithful. The Lord stood with me. Strengthen me. 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. So he was saved from the mouth of a lion. Now you get that first answer, don't you? It was very real that he was on trial, and there was a very real possibility that that first time he was going to be executed for being a Christian, for an apostle, for preaching Christ in this kingdom of Rome. The preaching might be fully known. He says, the Lord shall deliver me. That the Lord saved me. And then he says in 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto this heavenly kingdom. What does he know? Well, what he knows is that even if he is killed, what does he know? He's delivered unto eternity. Maturity. Now we wrap up this last section this morning. I just remind you, the measure of maturity. So I want you all to measure your maturity by 2 Timothy 4. Right? Think that through. Your measure of your maturity, not by how gifted you are. People can have spiritual gifts and be like little babies with the gifts. Right? Very straightforward. You can have gifts of prophecy and what? Not love anybody. That's childish. Or carried about by winds of doctrine. Listen, I don't want any influencers here in the body of Christ. This isn't YouTube. Right? Not interested in influencers. A pastor is not an influencer. That's the mark of immaturity. The mark of maturity is the pastor is the shepherd who watches over the flock and feeds the flock. That's the mark of maturity. Pastor and teacher. You understand that? And so when you don't think of me more, but you also don't then ascribe less. Last section. 19 through 22. Salute Prisca and Aquila, household of Onesiphorus. Again, I just look at that. Greet those that are still serving and doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing. And you can look them up in other places in the scripture and what they've done, but they're faithful servants. So salute them. I love this. It's like, and a lot of times when I go to the pastor's conferences, some of our conversations, well, is so-and-so still going? My pastor has a log, and again, in the Midwest, where he's come out now 30 years, and there's guys there. He's like, yeah, there's now 20-some guys that aren't doing this anymore. I have this. It was always going to be Seth and the 3Ds, four of us raised up to go out and pastor, sent out by Calvary Chapel St. Paul. Seth and the 3Ds, they were going to be my bros. All the Ds are gone. So I'm glad my name didn't start with the letter D. I probably would have been gone. But what's the mark of maturity? I have not left. Right? The mark of maturity is I'm not going away. If there's anything you men learned about my pastor at the men's conference, it's one thing, is he is the verse, continue thou in the things you have learned and been assured of. It's the bottom line. Word of God. He had everything thrown at him to not do the word of God and destroy his entire life through vengeance and to get back at what the enemy did to him. And what'd you learn? What's what I already know. Mark of maturity is what? I choose the word of God above everything in me that would be contrary. So when he issues a wake-up call, we better listen. I don't despise that. Greet or salute Prisca and Aquila, the household of O, Uncle O. Verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth. Now, get this. So Paul's describing probably when he was arrested and on his way to Rome, Erastus, he leaves in Corinth. I'm going to stay here. There's a reason why he's alone when he's first tried. See, some of the men, Erastus is like, Erastus, I got to be in Corinth. And look at Trophimus, Miletus. He's left in Miletus sick. Do you understand? Why didn't Paul just heal him? It doesn't work that way. You grow up in the ministry. Like, think of those ministries that say everybody should be healed. That's childish doctrine. Tossed to and fro. I mean, again, my wife met a lady one time who was like, I'm just claiming my healing. Well, why can't you stand? Well, my knee hurts. But I'm claiming my healing. That, listen, your knee is not healed. That's childish doctrine to say, I must claim this when I haven't been healed. The reality is, if my knee was healed, it would be healed. See, this power of God is real, but when we go around acting like, well, it's just because my faith is weak. No, listen, my Trophimus have I left in my lead, I'm sick. Yes, ministers get sick. And God has purpose with these things. It's a mark of maturity. What do you say to somebody who, again, sickness is it can be a mark of God's doing a deeper work. Right? This is a mark of maturity. Some serve, some are sick. They're put into bed rest for 6 months as the Lord just works deeply in their heart over the doctrine of Christ. I don't know that. All I know is when I see one who's faithful in the ministry who goes into this sort of course, I'm like, okay, God pulled out his best instrumentation for you. He just took you off the slow learning path and he's going to ready for quick learning. Ready for quick learning. That true. Right? That's that truth. Do thy diligence. Back to 21, circles back to 9. Come quickly. Do thy diligence. Come before winter. I think we up here in the north, we understand that. Get here before it gets cold, before winter. Eubulus greets thee, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, the brethren. Now again, everywhere Paul's at, the brethren are there. But then look at this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. That's really what we need. Mark of maturity is what? It's not about what everybody else is doing in church. The mark of maturity is what? It's what God is doing. The mark of maturity is that may the Lord be with you, may his spirit. What are you getting when you're reading and praying? What's he talking to you about? How are you walking with him? What's the Spirit of God teaching you? What's he working on right now? How are you applying that study? That's the mark of maturity. And then that phrase, grace be with you. Amen. Now remember I said where this study ends today? So if you take it, wherever you're at, whatever measure you now have in the faith, whatever measure you have in this, the part that you have, you can see Christ is infinite and he is full and you're growing up into that fullness. Wherever you're at today, the word's the same to you. Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You need to know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, what will God do for you? He will teach you. Lord, I just don't know how to not love the world. I need to learn the cross, how I could be crucified to the world and the world to me. So if you know you love the world and you don't want to love the world, you don't want to be a Demas, you don't want to leave, and yet a part of you is always drawn to what the things in the world, so how do you offer that up? I know I need the cross. Teach me the cross. Now I lay this out. It's about growing up. Children are tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, straight up, very clearly, I'll say this. Our youth ministry, which I just use the same tagline as my pastor, I say NYG because we're not going to do youth group, not youth group. It's not going to be a place where teens can stay in immaturity and sin and rebel. We shorten that time period down. So it's between like 13 to 15, 3 years. And at 16, we say like it's time to grow up. Get into men's ministry, young men. Young woman, get into women's ministry. That's where you grow. You don't grow by spending time with your peers. One of the things when we raised our kids was I don't want them learning about the things from their peers. I'll teach them. Same way in church. That's why when, again, you hit that, again, some 12-year-olds can't be in children's ministry anymore. It's not working for them. Well, get in here and start, open up your Bible. I remember taking my children to conferences at that age and my pastor just saying one thing. What's one thing you got from the conference? Just one thing. See, you don't get everything when you're growing, do you? How do you know what you don't need? Like, well, I can't say, well, I didn't understand that proverb. I'm going to stop reading the Proverbs. I don't understand all of it. Well, which verse did you understand? Which proverb is teaching you today? See, part of growing in grace and knowledge is say, Lord, teach me. Now, here's my warning to us. Please understand what I say. As you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, set yourself and be prepared to receive correction when you're corrected. That's the mark of maturity. It's all the way through the Proverbs. If you have not been corrected as a child and you're just internally you're whining, complaining, and you're against every corrective voice in your life, listen, God will send corrections in life. If you don't listen to the rebuke of life, you're not going to listen to anybody. So just prepare yourself to receive correction. That's part of growing up. Listen, I will be correcting you from time to time. Okay? That's it. It happens. I get corrected from time to time. Yes, my children, Dad. Mom and Dad, don't you get spanked? Oh, let me tell you about spankings from the Lord when I get corrected. Oh, yeah. The other thing is, receive the commands. Receive commands. It's a mark of maturity. Just work it out in your heart. Say, just between you and God, you just work this out and say, I can be told what to do. And then sign your name to it, date it. Right? Put it on your mirror and say, I will receive commands. I can be told what to do. So I will be corrected. I will be told what to do. And here's another important one. I will be comforted. Receiving commands, receiving correction, receiving comfort. What happens when you're just, as a Christian, just you're in a bad spot? Right? Meaning, all weighed down over your sin and you can't get out of it for yourself and you know you shouldn't be doing it and I'm still doing it. How do you get out of that? Well, in receiving the correction, what always comes after correction? Comfort. Comfort. What is then, therefore, a suffering that we go through, but many times to correct some of our wrong ideas, wrong thoughts, wrong plans? Correcting, how do you get out of sin? Well, maybe that suffering is to strike you to a place that hurts deeply that you would say, I've got to get this right with God. You throwing things back there at me? Maybe you're getting convicted back in the sound booth. But you know what happens if one refuses comfort? They have just a heart of heart to the love of God. They say, I don't need to be comforted. This life stinks and I'm not going to be comforted over it. That's a hard heart. So Father in heaven, pray today. Thank you for this view of the men and the women listed in ministry that grew up and served the Lord. Thank you for John Mark's testimony that before he ran away from the difficult things in ministry, and then he came back. What a testimony. Thank you for the testimony of Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister. Lord, thank you for the testimony of Demas, the power of a bad example. Pray now for your people, Lord, that we would grow up. We wouldn't be tossed to and fro, that we would not be taken away by the world, that the young women would learn from the older women, that the young men would learn from the older men, that we'd learn to follow Jesus, and we'd grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.